Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I am 24. This is my podcast, 24's podcast. It just feels wrong to interrupt, obviously, the Beatles and John Lennon during that infamous kind of first 2 minutes of Come Together. We'll listen to more Beatles here tomorrow. Tonight, we're going to talk about this weekend's games. We're going to kind of reflect very briefly. No, I'm not going to really talk about the Rams game. By the way, can I? Just going to pause it for a little bit. I'm watching basketball. It's a 10 p.m. game. It's 10:10 right now. And ESPN, I don't know what their broadcast is about. It's a Friday. I mean, there is no sports on, you know. And ESPN doesn't even have, like, I don't know, just the gall to just be like, you know what, guys? I mean, technically, there's only six games on, but Jesus Christ, like, ESPN has, like, Kendrick Perkins and Cassidy Huberth, who I love. I love Cassidy. But they have, like, these two, you know, reporters, technically she's a, I don't know what she is, to be honest. I'm like, I don't know what, it's like a sideline reporter, and they have a former basketball player on as, like, this pregame show to essentially just get through the night. And I'm like, you guys don't have like a dead, you guys have so many broadcasters and analysts and personalities, and not one of them could have been in like Los Angeles or LA. It looks like Cassidy is in LA right now based off of the background, but I don't know. Kendrick Perkins is in a box somewhere. Regardless, let me play my music again. Regardless, we got a long night ahead of us. So a lot of it's Dodgers. I'm not going to lie to you. Some of it's going to be Dodgers. And then I got to bake some cookies, or make technically cookie dough, which that's going to take a while. Anyways, all that, much, much more. 24's podcast. Great, great, great song. Let me get Abbey Road really fast. Hold on. I moved all of my vinyl back up upstairs when I was at school and I was grinding. And I was on that grind. I was on that path. I decided to take all my vinyl from the attic where I listened to it primarily downstairs. There's like a fireplace. There's two fireplaces that literally, I can't even describe to you how hot these fireplaces get. I mean, they're fireplaces. But it's like they will literally project heat like 20 feet away from them. And when you like, because they're gas, when you like turn them off, the heat still stays in the air because of how hot these things are and how much energy they produce. That hot energy, that heat is still in the air. Like, it literally will radiate heat 20 minutes past you, like, turning them off. It doesn't, like, get instantaneously cold. It still remains hot. It is ridiculous. I was worried my vinyl was going to get damaged. Let me get Abbey Road here. But the long and the short of it is that I brought my vinyl upstairs to prevent it from getting like warped or whatever. And I'll tell you something here. I'm not a huge Beatles guy. You know, I love the Beatles, but I'm not such a huge fan that I really care that much about which edition I get or whatever. Like, the two versions of two of their most infamous albums, they're not deluxe editions. They're not special editions. They aren't really even anniversary editions as far as I know. I bought one from Walmart and I bought one from Best Buy. I don't know what editions they are. Me personally speaking, I don't really care. They sound good. They look good. It's kind of a rarity to say that from, like, at first my perception of Walmart vinyl after I bought the Wu-Tang Clan's infamous record, Enter the 36 Chambers of Death, that one, I don't know what was going on with it. I even played on my new record player, my old record player, which was like a Crosley Cruiser. That one sucked, but my new one, I don't understand why it sounds so shit. Still. But, I got Abbey Road on vinyl. I got Let It Be. They both sound awesome. Come Together, awesome opening and introductory track to Abbey Road, of course. And Let It Be, I'm not even gonna lie to you, I haven't listened to the second half of it because literally I cannot get past Let It Be. Let It Be is such an awesome track. It's such an awesome song. And on a really, really awesome album, even though I haven't heard the second half of it. I apologize. Again, I said I'm not, like, that big of a fan of the Beatles. And by that big of a fan of the Beatles, give me, like, 2 seconds to explain. Sorry about that. What I mean by that I'm not that big of a fan of the Beatles, I don't mean that I don't love their music. That's not what I mean. What I mean by that is that I don't know anything and everything about their music and anything and everything about every single release and da-da-da-da-da. Like, I'm not a super mega fan. I'm a fan, but I would not consider myself to be a super mega fan, not because they aren't a great band and created great music, but more specifically because it's just, like, it's a lot, and a lot of it gets lost in translation. Like, we're talking about 60 years of history in between now and when the Beatles recorded some of their original songs. So it's just, like, some of it just gets lost in translation. Anyways, we'll talk about the Beatles, and we'll listen to the Beatles and Doja Cat's newest album and all that good stuff tomorrow. Tonight, it's a celebration. It's a celebration of weeks, really months, and years of work by the Los Angeles Dodgers. Go Dodgers. Whenever I talk about the Dodgers or whenever I scream about the Dodgers, I always say, Go Dodgers! Go Dodgers! And that weird accent that I, like, I don't know what accent that is where I say Dodgers, but I don't know. It sounds right to me. And yes, the Dodgers have had an absolute just monster year, or really not year, but offseason this year, in the last couple of weeks, something that to me is absolutely unprecedented with the Dodgers, and just in general with professional sports as a whole. And I'll get into why in a second. It's gotten discussion, but it's gotten the negative discussion
and negative perception. So let me kind of illuminate it and talk about it in kind of a positive aspect and perspective, because I think the Dodgers, what they just did yesterday, last night, way after I got off the podcast, slash early this morning, depending on your time zone, what they did was glorious. Glorious! Oh my God. They were absolutely, unequivocally fantastic. They did such a good job with free agency. So if you haven't heard, the Los Angeles Dodgers, one of the most notorious, by the way, speaking of the Dodgers, I got my Dodgers jacket behind me. The reason why I'm not wearing it right now is because I am literally myself radiating heat. It's too hot for me. I'm just too hot. My body is too hot. I can't wear a jacket and sit in this room. It's 70 degrees inside my room. I don't know why I'm this hot. But it's behind me. It's always on my chair now. It used to be with essentially a cluster of clothes because I was so ashamed to wear my Dodgers jacket because of just their quick elimination in the playoffs. Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman had a horrible season against the Diamondbacks. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. But I'll talk about it. They had a horrible, horrible series. They were one of the favorites. I thought they were going to win the World Series this year. And then they get eliminated in the first round of the World Series this year. They got swept. It was horrendous. I was very embarrassed. And I have a bunch of people that I know that are fans of the rivals of the Dodgers. And let me tell you something. The Braves, they're Braves fans. And let me tell you something. I mean, they were giving me the business. Oh, my God. And now it's turned! The tables have turned! The Dodgers are back on top. The Dodgers are back on the top heap. Going freaking yard! Busting yard off! Against the rest of the MLB, making everybody mad and jealous. Let's talk about it. What happened? So, over the last couple of weeks, the Los Angeles Dodgers were able to acquire one Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani, an absolute phenom, a stud, could potentially be the greatest baseball player ever, or at the very least of the last 60, 70 years. Reason for that is, Shohei Ohtani is unique because he is able to both pitch and hit at a high level. There are lots of players in baseball that used to be pitchers, but are outfielders, midfielders, shortstops, first, second, third baseman, catchers, etc. Like, they all probably pitched in high school, maybe potentially in college, maybe in the minors. I don't really know. But the special thing about Shohei Ohtani is that he is able to pitch in the majors, in the MLB, at essentially the highest of levels, while also being able to hit bombs at the highest of levels as well. It's not a rare feat, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a rare feat. It is a non-existent feat. Some people would say, well, Babe Ruth did it in what was it, the 1920s, 1910s, 1930s, somewhere around there. Babe Ruth didn't do it during integration, when really a lot of talent for baseball, and Babe Ruth is a Hall of Famer, he's a great player, blah, 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 blah. Nobody cares. Or everybody cares, but you know what I mean. But Babe Ruth probably didn't do it with the top competition at the time, I would argue. That's just a fact. And we won't know because the sport wasn't integrated. So, Babe Ruth is the only other person that we know that was able to do it, and he did it at a time where integration really wasn't a thing. So, Shohei is, you know, playing in essentially one of, I wouldn't say one of the best eras of baseball. I would say the steroid era is like with Barry Bonds and all those guys in like the 90s was essentially the best era for baseball. Because it's just like offense was so much better. Great job, MLB, by checking all of your baseball players if they take steroids. It's like, they all, of course they all did. Barry Bonds gets shafted by the Hall of Fame. Absolute joke that the Hall of Fame voters literally are not putting in one of their greatest Hall of Famers ever in Barry Bonds' joke. Baseball's a joke. I'll talk about it. But my whole roundabout point is that it's not a rare feat. It's not even a once-in-a-generation type of stuff because we essentially haven't seen somebody be this great since Babe Ruth, and Babe Ruth did it before integration. The long and the short of it is, we're witnessing something special. I mean, this is, to me, even more unique than, like, Michael Jordan, for example. Because Michael Jordan is, like, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Like, LeBron James as well. This is even more unique than that. Because it's like, we got Michael Jordan, and then, like, a couple of years of Kobe, and then we got LeBron. While also having, like, Tim Duncan, Seth Curry, like, Shaq, like, all of these great basketball players. There is, like, all of those basketball players are some of the greatest basketball players of all time, right? Like, once-in-a-generation type of players. Like, Michael Jordan, once-in-a-generation. Kobe, once-in-a-generation. Tim Duncan, LeBron, once-in-a-generation. Steph, once-in-a-generation. Shohei is not once-in-a-generation. He is literally one player. He is a player that you may see once every 100 years. That's how rare he is. And so, we go from Shohei to the Dodgers, right? Because he puts out he wants to be a Dodger, the deferred payment, all that good stuff. I'm recapping and rehashing a little bit. Shohei, in free agency, goes from the Los Angeles Angels, who have done absolutely nothing to help him in his pursuit of a championship. He has been adamant, I want to win. I want to win at the majors. I've won on a global stage playing for Japan. I want to win a championship. The Los Angeles Angels took a huge risk. And it didn't pay off whatsoever. The risk that they took was that they didn't trade Shohei Ohtani earlier this season by the trade deadline. I thought that they were going to do it. I don't really know anything about baseball. I don't really care to know that much about baseball because baseball to me is kind of like a boring sport in regards to some of the ways that people approach it. But to me, the Angels made a huge mistake by not trading away Shohei Ohtani. And the reason for that is Shohei Ohtani was never going to sign with the Angels if they showed that they were not going to do anything in being able to compete for a world title. Shohei Ohtani is paired, or was paired, with one of the greatest hitters of all time, or technically speaking of our current generation, and Mike Trout, with the Los Angeles Angels. And technically, they're not the Los Angeles Angels. They're in Anaheim, California. That doesn't count. Nobody in Los Angeles actually goes and watches the Angels play. Everybody in Los Angeles goes and sees the Dodgers, because that's where the Dodgers are home, Dad. That's why nobody in Los Angeles cares about the Anaheim Angels, which is what they really should change their name to. Los Angeles Angels doesn't sound as good as Anaheim Angels. However, the Angels did nothing before this year and after this year to help Shohei Ohtani in his quest for a championship. They never made it to the playoffs with two of the greatest hitters in the league. And they essentially said, look, the risk and the philosophy and the thought process was that we aren't going to trade away Shohei, but we are going to try and make this playoff push, and we're going to try and move some things around and try and do something to keep Shohei Ohtani. But it was obvious that they weren't going to be in contention for Shohei, obviously. So instead of trading him away, trying to get something, they essentially made the worst decision, and they got nothing essentially for the greatest baseball player that we've seen in almost 60 years. Huge swing and a miss, pun not intended, by the Anaheim Angels, which they will forever be called. I won't call them the Los Angeles Angels. They don't represent Los Angeles. They represent Anaheim. So stay your asses at Anaheim, Angels, and fade back to obscurity and irrelevancy where you belong. It makes me so sad for Mike Trout, but I just, in an age in baseball, it's, again, it's a weird sport and I don't follow it that much, but I want Mike Trout to get out of Anaheim because he doesn't belong there. It's like that meme of that guy in New York City with a cat in a shop saying, you don't belong there. I'm going to do everything in my power to get you out. I want Mike Trout to get out, but he's got to get himself out. He's got to go someplace else. And I'm tired of seeing Mike Trout on a stupid, god-awful team that is irrelevant, that is the Clippers of baseball, Just running around, just running around, just flopping around like a dolphin out of water. Just fluttering and flipping its freaking fins around. I hate that Mike Trout is with the Anaheim Angels. But he's with the Anaheim Angels. There's not really much else I can do. He's chosen to be there, and he will be there for forever, or until he decides that he wants out. But Shohei goes from Los Angeles to the Dodgers, or excuse me, from Anaheim to Los Angeles to the Dodgers. Go Dodgers. And in his first couple of weeks, he's done more for the organization than really, you know what, not more for the organization than the Anaheim Angels did for him. Well, technically speaking, yes, that's true. Shohei essentially has helped the Dodgers by deferring, meaning that he's moved back his money to essentially the decade of 2034 to 2043. So technically speaking, Shohei Ohtani is going to be collecting checks for the Dodgers from the Dodgers for the next 20 years. That's essentially the extent of his contract. And he's going to be there for, I think, 12 years. 12 years, $700 million. Buku amounts of money. Shohei, after deferring money so that way his team is able to essentially is able to go after free agents, helps with the recruitment of one Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who is an infamous baseball player out of Japan. If you have no idea who Yoshinobu Yamamoto is, he is potentially one of the greatest baseball players to come out of Japan. And a lot of American broadcasters get it incorrect. And, I mean, a lot of American broadcasters in regards to baseball, they get a lot of things incorrect. This is why the sport has been dying for the better part of 20, 30 years, right? With the banning of steroids and the huge policing in that regard, which nobody, I think, wanted, but every single loser nerd in baseball was like, it's not fair, they're in steroids! Shut up. But baseball has been just on the decline for 30 years, and it's because of the people that cover it and run it. But the people that cover it and run it now have mistakenly put out the argument that Yoshinobu Yamamoto has not pitched a single pitch, or inning technically, in baseball in the MLB, and he gets, I think, 10 years, $325 million annually. Or not annually, $325 million over the course of 10 years. And people have it, by the way, that essentially adds up to about $1 billion for two baseball players, Shohei Ohtani and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. And a lot of analysts and broadcasters and dumb journalists have essentially said, well, what does it matter? He hasn't pitched a single pitch in baseball in the MLBs. And it's just like, well, here's the thing about baseball, right? It's not, American baseball is not the top of the heap. I'm sorry, it's not. There's plenty of other leagues with plenty of other Major League Baseball players that play winter baseball. Like some baseball, like some guys just don't really get a break. They play year round. They play for other teams. Maybe it's because they don't make enough money. I don't know, but it just seems winter baseball in their own countries just seems like a whole lot of fun. They also play for the Baseball Invitational Classic or whatever the hell it's called. It's the equivalent of the World Cup in baseball, which, by the way, dumb American broadcasters are like, America, who cares about, sorry for that little mind, just that mind fuck that I just went on. Who cares about the Baseball Invitational? Who cares about every country coming together to compete in a tournament, you know, throughout the course of a month, where essentially it's the damn World Cup and nobody in America cares about it, but every other country does. They send their apex predators and other players to this World Invitational World Cup, and American dumb broadcasters are like, who the hell cares? Let me tell you who cares. The rest of the damn planet. We send Mike Trout and Mookie Betts and no pitching. Then we get smoked by Japan in the finals. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. If you don't know what I'm talking about, this year was special for the World Baseball Invitational or whatever the hell it's called. And American broadcasters for years had been like, who cares about this great tournament? And the answer is the rest of the planet did. And this year's baseball tournament, the World Cup thing, whatever it's called, was huge. It was special. The ratings were huge. Shohei was huge. America, the American team was awesome. The entire fans were awesome. It was held in the United States. It was going on essentially during spring training when baseball is just non-existent and it sucks. And so it's just this huge, huge event. A lot of great players. Everybody's worried about pitchers getting hurt and blah, 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 blah. And I think Cameron Diaz, the closer for the Mets, he got hurt in it as well. It was terrible, but it was awesome. The event was awesome. And Japan had won it, but you find that there are so many capable and able players from a lot of these different countries, and America was kind of the only country that kind of stuck their nose up at it and was like, who cares if da-da-da-da-da, who cares about this tournament? And it's just like, well, everybody else does, and everybody else is having fun. Why are we not sending our best pitchers to the tournament? And then it got to such a point where with the major league teams were like, if you're pitching, you can only pitch for like one inning or a couple of innings or whatever. And pitchers told the American coaches on the American team were like, forget what our managers told you. Listen to what I'm telling you. Use me however you want me, however you want to. If I got to pitch for 6, 7, 8, 9 innings, then I'll pitch for 6, 7, 8, 9 innings. They're not going to pitch for 9 innings, of course. But you know what I mean. For the sake of the team, use it, like, we're going to play to win. That's what the American pitchers said to their coaches. And the coaches, thank God, obliged them. This is about midway through the tournament. But the problem then became that other pitchers from other teams in America, they were like, holy shit, this is a lot of fun. This is like fun baseball. This is important. We want to go in and pitch. I think the American team will be much better this year. But my God, American broadcasters and old people that were, by the way, mad at, what was, again, I'm bad with Tati Matis, Jesus Christ. Again, I don't know that much about baseball. Fernando Tatis and his bat flipping a couple of years ago. And now it's like one of the main things that MLB has implemented into its game. And all of the quote-unquote unwritten rules that just any other sport, any other fan of any other sport would look at cross-eyed and weird, like, huh, that's something that you guys police really hard? It's just ridiculous. But, yes. World Baseball Classic, I think that's what it's actually called, the World Baseball Classic. That was awesome this year. America should probably be better if anyone cares. America lost, by the way, in an awesome payoff pitch. Shohei Ohtani against Mike Trout for all the marbles. Strikes out, I think, Mookie Betts. Mike Trout fouls once or twice. It's a 3-2 is the count. Payoff comes. Shohei Ohtani, strikes his ass out. Get him out. Get Mike Trout out. I'm American, and I'm even saying, get Mike Trout's ass out. Japan wins the World Baseball Classic, and Japan is back on top. As Shohei Ohtani closes for his home country of Japan. But going back to Shohei, I don't even know how I got on that tangent about the World Baseball Classic. But Shohei, last year and a half, last 2 years, when was that clip of Stephen A. Smith saying that batting at 300 isn't even good? Let me look it up really fast. Hold on. By the way, now the fantastic, as I literally cut open my knee. I accidentally scratched at one of my scabs that's still not healed yet. I apologize. I'm looking up the Shohei Ohtani, Stephen A. Smith clip of him saying that, like, he can't be a, oh my God, is Stephen A. Smith, of course, reports on. Oh, it was 2 years ago, I think, right? It was 2 years ago where Stephen A. Smith says some dumbass shit, and ESPN hasn't, I can't find the clip because ESPN makes sure that none of their analysts or broadcasters, after they say some dumbass shit, they make sure to make them not look bad, which in a lot of ways makes sense. But Stephen A. Smith said some dumbass shit, and this is This is so interesting. This is literally when Max Kellerman was still on First Take. So this is like before Max gets fired from First Take. What's Max Kellerman doing? I got to look up what Max is doing, by the way. Hold on. I'm hoping that he's all right. I loved Max. What's he doing now? What's he doing? I mean, he still has the, man, his handle on Twitter still has, like, host of This Just In and host of Keyshawn J. Will, and it's just, like, he hasn't updated his bio. That's sad. That's sad. I loved Max. Yeah, I mean, all of his accounts are still the exact same thing. He hasn't posted anything new on Instagram. And I think his last post was in July of this year. Oh, man, that's so sad. I hope whatever he's doing, he's doing. I hope whatever he's doing, he's happy. I love Max. Love Max. And yes, if I could trade, if I could trade Stephen A. Smith for Max, I would. Max is better. I love Max. But anyways. Hold on. Let me see if Pat has it. I can't believe this is a 2-year-old clip. Give me like 2 seconds. I got an ad. I'm like, I can't stall forever. Hold on. Where is it? I'm trying to see if Pat is. No, he doesn't play it. I'll say this. I guess it's like with Shohei Ohtani, there's two clips of Stephen A. Smith. The first clip is of him saying that Shohei Ohtani isn't a superstar in baseball because Shohei Ohtani has like a translator and he doesn't even speak English. That's like the first comment. That's the first dumb comment that Stephen A. Smith made. Second comment is that he also said that batting at 300 is like not good, which batting 300 in baseball, in today's baseball, is great. But I don't know what it is. But that's essentially the comment. That's the two comments. And I'm referring to the latter rather than the former. That Shohei Ohtani doesn't bat at like, that batting at 300 isn't like a good thing or whatever. But I don't even remember what I was. Let me try and see if this is it. Hold on.
Community that expressed their disappointment.
Oh, I don't care. I don't care. He's doing PR. I'm like, I don't care to hear it. But regardless, right? I don't even remember how I got to this place. Sometimes I go and I deviate and I just don't really have a plan. I'm a dog following a car, and I don't know what I would do if I would catch one, if in the words of the Joker. Regardless, Stephen A. Smith, or not Stephen A. Smith, but I was talking about, I think, baseball and how it's been hampered by the people that cover it and da-da-da-da-da. Let me get my bearings again. I apologize. But regardless, right? Hold up. Wait a minute. I am on that site that I was on yesterday. Hold up. Wait a minute. Hold up. Wait a minute. Oh, my God. God damn. Hold up. Jesus Christ. Sorry. Not to make it sound weird. I am on Groove, right? I'm on Groove, or Grove, however you want to say it. It is a website that has these great sales of like, Blu-rays and DVDs and all that good stuff. And I have, for the better part of, I don't know, of like a year now, I would say, I've been trying to like find good deals on on 4K Blu-rays. Maybe not a better part of a year, but for the last couple of months, since I got my 4K Blu-ray player, like, I don't know, in May or June or something like that, I've been interested in expanding, because I'm a nerd. But I've been trying to like find sales on Blu-rays and things of that nature, and it's just like I may have found a fucking dope sale on a Harry Potter like steelbook ultra HD Blu-ray like combo pack with unique covers. Wait, hold on. Never mind. I don't want that. I don't want steelbooks. Sorry. It's like $100 and I was like, I don't want a steelbook case. Are these steelbooks? No, it's just UHD. Ultra HD. Yeah, but they're just the fucking disc. They're not even, I don't want, you know, you want to know, you want to know the problem sometimes that I kind of run into? Like, let me have a nice long deviation here. You want to know my issue, my problem, right? Is, like, now, maybe not now, but it's like, my problem right now is that, I mean, I'm in the middle and I'm in the cusp of about to, like, buy a bunch of movies and stuff like that. And a lot of these companies, they'll bundle movies together that I don't really want. Like, for example, they'll maybe not bundle, but they'll have like different versions. Like they'll have a Blu-ray, DVD, and 4K edition of the exact same movie. And I'm like, I'm going to watch it in the best version. Like when I was in high school and stuff like that, or even now when I didn't use my PS5 as like a Blu-ray player or whatever, I would always have and watch movies on a DVD player, right? And I would never touch Blu-rays. But I had that option to scale up to a Blu-ray if I wanted to. Now it's like I have a 4K Blu-ray player. I want all of my movies to be 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray. Why, like, I don't need now to have a Blu-ray copy of it. So if I can get that out, I would like it to save some money, but to also have people buy money or buy more. They're like, here's a free Blu-ray, but just kidding, you have to pay more for it. So now I'm like, I'm trying to figure out like which movies that I don't have. Because I'm trying to get the entirety of Harry Potter on Ultra HD. I literally now have all of them in my cart right now, except for like one. One more. And that's, which one is it? Hold on. It's like the Chamber of Secrets. Sorry, I'm literally doing this on the podcast. I mean, you know what? I care. I don't know. I get distracted easily. I have all of them, right? I have all of them except for the Sorcerer's Stone. I have the Chamber of Secrets, Prisoner of Azkaban, Goblet of Fire, Order of the Phoenix, Half-Blood Prince, Deathly Hallows Part 2, which is easily the best one. And, all right, sorry about that. What's it now? What's the cost of it now? $207. Okay. Sorry about that. As well as like a bunch of other movies. Hold on. And then one is like out of stock. Mad Max Fury Road is out of stock. Yeah, like you're kind of getting a glimpse into how my horrific brain works. I lost my car keys like a couple of days ago, and I locked other car keys in my car because I was planning on replacing the car battery, or not the car battery, but the battery inside the clicker, you know, the clicker in your key. But I lost my car keys. They're either in my car I either have two sets of car keys that are in my car, or I need to look harder for my actual ones that I use. Long and the short of it is, my brain will bounce from subject to subject, point to point, and it is very, very easy to distract. I mean, you just got a glimpse of it. I don't even know why I'm on this site, but here I am looking at Blu-rays. Want to know what I've been doing since I talked about losing my car keys? Scrolling to try and find the Sorcerer's Stone. Do I have ADHD? I don't know. I don't think I do. Can I share a bit of personal news with you, right? I've been sharing a bunch of personal news with you all week long about, or really for the last couple of weeks. When I was a teenager, I like tried to get medicated for ADHD, right? I was like the doctor that I went to go see to get my prescription, like to try and check me out because I was being wild and rambunctious, quote unquote. I went to go see this doctor. He was like, I'll give you a prescription of da 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 da. We'll see how that helps. I'm mega super excited because I'm like, finally, some of these issues will be solved, right? And I'm a teenager, so I can't go out. I don't know if I can go. I mean, I probably could have gotten my prescription, but I thought my mom was going to get it for me. Never got it. She's like, he doesn't need to be medicated. And I was like, well, you know, the way that I just bounced around like a freaking, like literally like a scatterbrained gerbil kind of makes me think that I probably need to be medicated. There's nothing wrong with it. You know, everybody has strengths and weaknesses, but my God, man, I'm just like, I don't even know how I ended up here. It's like I just blacked out and now I'm shopping for 4K Ultra HD Blu-rays. It's a problem. It's a big problem. I mean, now I can't go anywhere because I lost my car keys. It's ridiculous. It's like I lost a credit card for a month and I don't even know where it was. And then I lost another credit card. It's ridiculous. I think I just lose stuff. It's not that I lose stuff. It's the problem, because everybody loses stuff, right? The problem is that when I lose stuff, I can't find it because I forgot where it is. That's why. But yes, I need help. Oh my gosh. Anyways, going back to what I was talking about earlier, which the roundabout of it was, I was talking about Shohei Ohtani and his addition to the Dodgers, and Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and how everybody thinks every single... Now I remember, ironically enough, after all of that. It's weird how that works, right? It's just like, if you had asked me like 10, 20 minutes ago, when I was going on that little rant about Yoshinobu Yamamoto and where that was going to lead, I was like... And then I went to the World Baseball Classic, and I went down that rabbit hole, and I got stuck in that rabbit hole. And then I'm like, well, why was I talking about the World Baseball Classic? Well, I was going to reference how awesome Yoshinobu Yamamoto was, how awesome of a pitcher he was in Japan, how awesome everybody in Japan thinks he is, how awesome Japanese baseball is. Like, the reality is, right, in some cases, Japanese baseball is as good, if not better, than American baseball, than the MLB. The reason why a lot of players go from the Japanese league to the American league to the MLB, the Major League of Baseball, is because it pays more. That's kind of the reality of the situation. It's like, yes, it's like Japan has high-level competition. It's kind of toxic how they groom players. Like, literally, I mean, you'll, like, in some cases, like, you'll throw, like, 1,000 pitches or something like that in a span of, like, a week in high school or something ridiculous like that. It's insane. The grueling nature of the grind of being a up-and-coming Japanese star and a Japanese baseball star when you're, like, 15, 16, 17. So it's toxic. A lot of it is toxic, but it's very productive when it comes to putting out high-level players. So, by the way, as I'm watching Jordan Poole versus the Warriors, I mean, he just had a steal, had a nice little layup. It's 32-35. I'm not going to lie to you. It's kind of a close game. Going back to Japan and the culture around baseball. Anyways, Japan, really, really, you know, toxic relationship with baseball and the grooming of it and things of that nature. But again, highly productive. Yoshinobu Yamamoto is one of the products of that. It's why, if you ask anyone that's in the know about Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Japanese baseball, they're never going to be like, oh, who cares that he hasn't, who cares that he's pitched in Japan's major league, essentially. When it's just like, dude, this is like this is essentially a top level minor league, borderline major league, and he's been smoking people. The team that he was on, I think he's only given up like two home runs all season, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, and like two runs, which is insane. Like, his team gave up two runs this season. He was an absolute apex predator of a pitcher, righty, top flight pitcher, throwing absolute bombs at like 99 miles an hour. I mean, he's got so many different pitches. He's got a curveball. He's got somewhat of a slider, but he has the nastiest, one of the nastiest fastballs you'll see in professional baseball. And it doesn't matter that he hasn't played at the majors because everybody wanted him already. But the reason why it doesn't matter that he hasn't played in the majors is that he essentially played in the majors. So, anyways. As I am, for some weird reason, I have a stuffy nose. But yes, it's the Dodgers getting Yoshinobu Yamamoto I'm on Groove and I'm looking up, like, I'm debating on whether or not I should get Schindler's List. Sorry. As well. It's only $13. I'm shocked at how, I mean, granted, this is like, these 4K Ultra HD Blu-rays are without, like, the digital code. They're without the DVD Blu-ray. But it's just like, I don't know. I don't care. I mean, some of them actually do have the Blu-rays and the digital codes, but I don't really care. I want the cheapest version of it because I'm not going to use any of this other shit. I want the fucking disc. Give me the disc and the disc only. And if you got to give me anything more, give me the fucking digital copy, please and thank you. Sorry, as I'm watching, or not watching, but I'm like, God, man. As I have that fucking, I'm looking at the movie It, the new one. God, man, that movie was so fucking scary. Sorry. Anyways, going back to, here it is. Yeah, I got it. I'm looking up some of the discs that they have. I wanted, what was it? Sorry. I wanted to see if the site that I'm on had Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. It's technically Harry. Is it the Philosopher's Stone? Sorry. I think it's the Sorcerer's Stone. Yeah. Is it the Sorcerer's Stone or is it the Philosopher's Stone? I think it's the Philosopher's Stone, right? But then they changed it to the Sorcerer's Stone. Yeah, it's the Philosopher's Stone. So that is the correct title. Sorry. Yeah, again, I just wanted to make sure they had it because I want to get all these movies in one place. At one given time. Did I get it? Yes. Yes, I did. Anyways. Oh my God. I don't know what is in my eye right now. Sorry. Yoshinobu Yamamoto pitching in the Japan minors. Let me get off of this so that way I am not gooberly distracted by it. Pitched in a top ranked league. Awesome baseball player. Everybody is hating on the Dodgers. I cannot believe it took me like an hour to discuss this. Everybody's hating on the Dodgers because the Dodgers have essentially found a way to use the brass in their jock strap, which is a big no-no in baseball. In baseball, you cannot use the billions upon billions upon billions of dollars that your team is worth and parlay that into players, which and coaches and facilities and stadiums and da-da-da-da-da. Or technically, you can parlay it into stadiums, but not like great coaching. Or technically, you can, I think, in most sports, because I don't think coaching is like a part of the salary cap. But you don't want to like overspend on coaching. But my point is, the Dodgers have used their excessive amounts of money to essentially get the best player in baseball in Shohei Ohtani, and also the best pitcher in baseball in Yoshinobu Yamamoto, or one of the best up-and-coming pitchers in baseball in Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who everybody thinks will be one of the best pitchers in baseball next season when he makes his major leagues debut. Because, I mean, he was killing guys last year when he wasn't even freaking in a major league baseball player. So, essentially, like, that free agency cycle that the Dodgers have been on, that's essentially taken me almost an hour to talk about, getting Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Shohei Ohtani, they also were able to get Tyler Glasnow as well. Like, this run that they've been on for the last 2 weeks is one of the greatest free agency runs I've ever seen in my entire life. This isn't like the Miami Heat getting LeBron James. This is like the Miami Heat being able to like get LeBron James and also like, I'm trying to think of like who was Tim Duncan, you know? When Tim was like still Tim Duncan, you know? You have essentially like two of the best basketball players at the exact same time, on the exact same team. It's not even like that great of, it is, no, it's a perfect analogy. While also being able to get like Tony Pollard, or maybe it would be like the San Antonio Spurs, I guess. Oh no, technically it's not like, it wouldn't be like the San Antonio Spurs getting LeBron James while having Tony Pollard and Manu Ginobili and Tim Duncan. It would be like if the San Antonio Spurs did that, right? Got all those players, and they also were able to get, like, Ray Allen as well. Like, it's just like, oh, the Spurs will win, like, five championships. And if LeBron had signed for, like, 8 years, you know? That's essentially what the Dodgers just did. So, greatest run I've ever seen in my life when it comes to free agency. It is, I don't know if I'll ever see anything like this. A lot of people have essentially said, a lot of people have put up lofty expectations for the Dodgers. If the Dodgers win like two World Series, that's perfectly fine. Like, look, I only care about winning, and the Dodgers are primed and ready to win next year in 2024. So it's going to be a great year for the Dodgers. It's going to be an interesting year regardless. I mean, speaking of interesting, again, the Warriors cannot seem to pull away from the Wizards. It's 43-40 right now. The Wizards are hanging on. But man, oh man, did the Dodgers pull out a great, great offseason for them. And yikes. Yikes, yikes, yikes to everyone else. I mean, Shohei wasn't going to the Toronto Blue Jays, nor was he going to go to the Yankees, I don't think. But it seemed as if the Yankees had a shot at Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Like, to me, I had a strong feeling because there was a connection with Shohei Ohtani. They both played on the Japanese team. I thought that there was a chance that he was going to be a Dodger. But, I mean, man, oh, man. Do you want to hear something interesting about Yoshinobu Yamamoto and his move to Los Angeles? So, apparently, it got into a bidding war between the Mets, the Dodgers, and the Yankees. The price for Yoshinobu Yamamoto for the Yankees was $300 million for like 9 years or something like that. I think what he got was $325 million for 10 years with the Dodgers, right? And so the Dodgers, essentially, they created an excuse. They were like, we feel like we put in a very competitive offer for Yoshinobu Yamamoto at $300 million. What essentially caused them to be out of the running was that the price went up to $325 million. And I was like, you're the Yankees. It's not like you're one of the lower market teams. You're literally one of the higher market teams. And for some weird reason, you're just like, you know what, guys? $300 million, that's it. $325 million, no siree. And it's just like, eh. They need better pitchers. And they didn't get Tyler Glasnow. They didn't get Shohei Ohtani. Granted, Shohei Ohtani can't pitch this year. He's going to pitch next year. Or technically, he's going to pitch in 2025, not in 2024. But he's going to pitch in 2025 at the earliest. So it's not like Shohei was going to be a pitcher for them this year. But my God, it's like they didn't get Shohei. They didn't get Tyler Glasnow. They didn't get Yamamoto. And it's just like, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, man. I don't know what the Yankees are going to do. Probably lose more games. That's that's probably what they're going to do. And the Angels are, of course, irrelevant. So that's my little baseball little tidbit, as well as 4K Ultra HD Blu-rays again. And I got them all. Let me tell you something. Groove's website is weird. I'll say it. Their website is weird. And the reason why I say their website is weird is because there are deals in place for me right now for things that, I mean, are the deals still active? Did the deals ever go away, or are they still active? I don't know. Hold on. It's like they'll have a warehouse clearing. They'll have 4 Ultra HD Blu-rays for for $45. Are they still? I don't know. Regardless, I don't know, but it keeps on saying like, hey, I have these like awesome movies that maybe not awesome movies, but I like these movies that I want on sale right now that are just like in my cart. And I'm just like, but the sales, I don't know if they're over with, or I think they are over with, but I just kept the movies in my cart. And because I kept them in my cart, I still have like the sale on, but the sale looks like the sale date is like over with. So I'm wondering, it's like, do I still have the sale? Do I still have the sale, or is the sale over with? I don't know, which is why I'm like, I'm very curious to see what's going to happen here, but I don't know. I mean, I want the sale, but I also don't want to, I mean, I want the movies, but I also want the sales. Sorry. Hold on. There's nothing better than getting a good sale, as I am admiring all of the shit that I just got. Anyways, kind of wrapping up some of this other stuff here. Let's talk about football here, as I spent a lot of time talking about the Dodgers and Blu-ray, 4K Ultra HD Blu-rays. We got a lot of games going on in the next couple of days on both Saturday and Sunday and Monday as well. I think Monday even has a double header, right? Yep. Oh my God, the two games on Monday are insane. Giants at Eagles on Christmas Day and the Ravens at Niners. Like, huge games going on this weekend that have obviously just massive playoff implications. We'll start off with tomorrow, the Bengals versus the Steelers. I mean, these two teams, I think, are in the playoffs right now based upon like rankings. It's either the Steelers. No, the Steelers are just outside of the playoffs. The Bengals are in the playoffs. You want my honest opinion about it? I don't care about either one of these two teams. They're single elimination and they aren't interesting at all. The Steelers aren't interesting because the Steelers are a mess. Like, this whole thing with George Pickens, the wide receiver who I loved out of Georgia, they have no idea how to utilize him, and he is just being majorly too focused on
by the national media and everything like this. Like, it feels as if George Pickens is the scapegoat for the Steelers' dysfunction. Like, the Steelers are a dysfunctional team because they are a dysfunctional team. Like, they don't have a great offensive line. They cannot still run the football. They cannot protect the quarterback. Their secondary is massively overrated, and essentially their defense is reliant upon TJ Watt destroying people. So it's a very predictable outcome for them, and I don't like their defensive scheme, to be honest with you, that much. But the focus from the media and from everybody else is, well, George Pickens won't block on a running play, kind of, but George Pickens also does block. There's these infamous plays of George Pickens being a absolute... The reason why I love George Pickens is that he's a psychopath that plays wide receiver. And there are... Hold on. There is, like, these fucking... infamous highlights of George Pickens fucking against Michigan, by the way, blocking and shoving the shit out of a Michigan DB in the college football playoffs. I mean, absolutely destroyed this fucking guy. And he's carried that, like, he's done that shit since college. He's done it since college, too. He's done that exact same shit in, since college, and he brought it with him to the league. And it's one of the weirdest things that I've seen really, like, ever, where it's just like a guy gets criticized for his, I don't even know what the fuck it is. It's just weird to me. Like, a guy gets criticized for his blocking, and it's just like, this is the thing that the guy did that really, for me, put me on George Pickens, him being this absolute psychopath and menace to society. And now it's just like, people are like, oh, he doesn't block. And it was just like, I literally saw him do the exact same thing in that Colts game, where he freaking shoves the shit out of somebody. And again, George Pickens, psycho. I love George. I think Pittsburgh is probably a terrible place for him because their offense is terrible. Their offensive coordinator is terrible. And they just don't really have a good culture there, which is ironic because Pittsburgh's culture is supposed to be a great culture. And it's just like, I don't know. He does not need to be there. I don't know what's going to happen to him. I think he's an awesome player. He needs a better quarterback, man. He really does. He needs a better team. But Pittsburgh, the game will be played in Pittsburgh. I mean, tomorrow at 3, at 4, I guess. I'll just say the Bengals will win. Bengals are right now better run than the Steelers, which is weird because usually the Bengals are significantly worse run as a football team, and now they're significantly better run. Bills at Chargers. Chargers are a disaster. They're on their interim coach and all that good stuff. They're not very good. Commanders at Jets. I think Zach Wilson isn't playing. Even if he was, I would probably take the Commanders. Robert Saleh is a very interesting figure, right? Because everything is falling apart around him, and it's not just because Aaron is hurt. That's not the reason why the Jets are bad, right? Because when you look at the Jets, notice how, like, Ahmad Gardner has kind of just, like, we haven't talked about how awesome he is this season. Like, he's kind of in a sophomore slump. Like, their defense is a tad bit overrated at times, and their offense is just a mess. And he has no idea how to deal with it, and it looks as if the Jets were incredibly reliant on Aaron Rodgers to save the franchise, but the offensive line isn't very good. And so I look at the Jets, and everybody essentially is like, next year they'll get him. Next year. And they already ruled out Aaron for the season, which it's just like, I would have done that weeks ago or months ago. But the Jets, I don't know their division and who they play against next year. They won't have to give the Packers a huge... They won't have to give the Packers any picks. I don't think a first-round pick, because Aaron didn't play at all this year. And I think it was a part of the trade as a stipulation that Aaron has to play like 70% of the snaps for the first-round pick to go to the Packers. And now that he will not play, essentially all but like, he's only played in like 3 or 4 snaps because he tore his Achilles literally on the opening drive of the Jets. But Aaron... And the Jets, they're in really good position draft-wise, but, like, they have to add a lot of stuff to their team in order to be competitive, not only in the AFC against the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Chargers, depending on what happens there. Apparently, the Chargers, I mean, if I can spend a couple minutes on the Chargers after I finish with the Jets, but the Jets, they have a lot of competition. The Jets will lose tomorrow. Chargers, though, are interested in Jim Harbaugh, which I don't really understand. Jim Harbaugh, to me, is like one of the most overrated head coaches in college. Never won a national championship game, has had the powerhouse of the Big Ten outside of Ohio State when it comes to recruiting and can't recruit very well. I mean, he gets top-tier prospects, but they don't turn into, like, top-tier players in college. Like, he hasn't ever really had a top-tier quarterback or really top-tier offensive lineman in college. I mean, he's got some really, really awesome, great defensive linemen, but also, I don't really also see that many great corners as well. It's just, it's one of those things that it's just like, Michigan will get a bunch of good players, obviously, but they won't get any great players like Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State back in the day. It looks like Ryan Day is just going to be kind of hanging around when it comes to being the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. But what I mean by hanging around, I just mean like he'll never beat Michigan at this point. He can't recruit quarterbacks worth a damn. And it's just one of those things that I look at where I'm just like, wow, I can't believe. I mean, he got C.J. Stroud. And C.J. Stroud's obviously great, but he can't get quarterbacks, man. He obviously got Marvin Harrison Jr., but that was probably because Marvin Harrison Sr. played at Ohio State, I think. But outside of some really, really great talent, really that was because of Urban Meyer, like, I don't know, Ryan Day, to me, it seems as if Ohio State is going to perpetually lose to Michigan here in the next couple of years, but Jim Harbaugh going from Michigan to the Chargers, I think, is mute. I don't think he's a good head coach. I don't think he'll make a good head coach in the NFL. I don't think he's that great of a head coach in college. The way that people just make excuses for Jim Harbaugh when he's now being attached to, like, cheating allegations and stuff like that, and how badly he got beaten by TCU. Apparently, one of the reasons why TCU beat Michigan so badly is TCU knew that Michigan tried to steal their signs as Jordan Poole airballs a deep three for some weird reason. But TCU knew that Michigan was trying to steal their signs, and so they had different signs in the game, and that's why apparently Michigan struggled with TCU all game, because they were trying to go off of their old signs, but TCU changed their signs to new signs and had dummy signs. It's just Michigan, to me, is just too big of a school. They're like UT. You know what I mean? Like, UT is too big of a school to not be consistently in the college football playoffs, which is why a lot of their head coaches got fired in the last decade, because they couldn't compete with Alabama or any of the other top-tier SEC teams. Now it's like this year you got UT being able to beat Alabama. So now guess what? Sark is his nickname, but Steve Sarkisian gets to keep his job. Like, Jim Harbaugh has beaten Ohio State, like, twice, but that's kind of it. Hasn't won a bowl game, by the way, which is insane. It's, like, insane that Michigan hasn't won a bowl game. I mean, I'm not talking about, hey, they haven't won a college football playoff game, which that's, I mean, that's obvious, but they haven't won a damn bowl game. It's like, how does that happen? I don't know. Regardless, Jim Harbaugh is being recruited by, or not recruited, but he's being sought after by the Chargers, which, I think is a bad idea. I don't like that connection at all. But hey, he'll fit well with them because Chargers are kind of losers and Jim Harbaugh is kind of a loser as well. In my opinion, he's kind of a loser. He's a loser because it's just like he doesn't win any huge games in college football. Except for the last couple of years. I'll give it to him. He's beaten Ohio State, which I thought he was never going to be able to do. But hey, it is what it is. Sorry, I got sidetracked again. Lions at Vikings. Interesting game here. Lions have had significant issues with
their secondary. It's played in a dome. Everybody keeps on talking about how the Lions, they play significantly better in a dome. I don't really care about that statistic. I think the Vikings will give the Lions an interesting fight, and I think that there may be, like, an upset alert is kind of like, I haven't done this whole upset alert thing, but I think, like, out of all the games this weekend that are going to be played, I think this game could be due for an upset, and the reason for that is that the Vikings have the firepower to be able to go up against the Lions. They have Jordan Addison, they have, as I'm watching, just the Warriors kind of pop off here. Warriors have played a great half. Wizards have really played a great half as well. Jordan Poole at times has looked really good, but also like Jordan Poole last season when he was a Warrior. Anyway, sorry about that. Going back to what I was talking about with the Vikings. Vikings, they have the guys, they have the firepower to attack into the Vikings' very basic, bland secondary that is horrendous. And it's going to be played at home. And the Vikings, I think, are in the running for the playoffs. They have 7-8 wins. They have 7 wins. They're 3 games behind the Lions, so I don't think the 1 seed is going to go towards the Vikings anytime soon. But I think that the Lions could be in, or not the Lions, but the Vikings, excuse me, could be in the running for the playoffs. I think that is something that could happen, and very much so. So the Vikings being able to win on Sunday is just like, it's huge. It's at home against the Lions. I think that is a game to watch. Texans at Browns. CJ Stroud is out with his concussion that he suffered almost 2 weeks ago by Quinnen Williams, and he's out and they need him. Last week, who did they play against? Who did the Texans play against? Texans played up against the Titans. They won in overtime 19-16 in a boring game with Case Keenum, but it's an important game. Whoever's going to start, whether it's Case or whomever, has got to come through for the Texans again, because they're going up against one of their conference rivals in the Cleveland Browns, and they need to win this game in order to still remain relevant in the playoffs, because it's going to be tight for the AFC, right? And for the Texans. I mean, the Texans will, I mean, they're playing at home against the Titans, and they're going to Indianapolis in the final game of the season, right? So, but if I look at the standings for you, right? Texans are in a 3-way tie with the Jags, 8-6, 8-6, and 8-6. And then you got all of these other teams, the Browns 9-5, so that means that you would have the tiebreaker against the Browns at because you beat the Browns. As well as the Bills are also 8-6. There's a lot of teams that are 8-6 right now. You don't want to be caught essentially in that running, and you also have to stay in contention with the Colts, and who knows about the Jags, because the Jags are kind of a disaster here. And the Jags will go up against the Bucs this weekend. I think Trevor Lawrence is still out with a concussion, so that may be a loss for the Jags. You need this win if you're the Texans against the Browns, but it's going to be a hard game. It's going to be a game that I'm not going to watch because, Jesus Christ, I'm watching two backup quarterbacks, and probably it's not going to be a fun offensive game for me. But huge game on Sunday, Browns versus the Texans. I can't wait to see the result. I definitely can wait to see the actual game be played, because yikes, is this game more likely than not going to be a bad game. Packers at Panthers. Take the Packers. The Panthers, they beat the Falcons last week, but the Panthers are still not a very good football team. Seattle at Tennessee. I'll take Seattle. Apparently Geno is cleared to play, so Seattle's back in action with their star quarterback and Geno Smith. And Tennessee is going to start, I think, Ryan Tannehill. Will Levis is like their official quarterback that's supposed to be starting, but Will Levis is hurt. So Seattle over Tennessee. Atlanta at Colts, or Colts at Atlanta, excuse me. Colts are better. Atlanta stinks. Arthur Smith just got fined with Atlanta, the Falcons. Just got fined like $100,000 because apparently they improperly reported on injuries in week 5 or something like that. So, for me, I look at this team, I look at Atlanta, I mean, they're already majorly dysfunctional, their head coach is a disaster, their whole team is a disaster, I don't know how they make it out of this regular season without firing Arthur Smith. They were in the running for the 1 seed in their division, and now they're a game behind with 6 wins. I don't know how Arthur Smith isn't fired after this season. I know I just repeated myself, but it's amazing that the owner of the Falcons is like, outside of a cataclysmic disaster, Arthur Smith will, outside of like something essentially disastrous happening, Arthur Smith will be the head coach next year. And I'm like, how does that even happen? And then the absolute cataclysmic disaster happens, and it's just like, oh, wait, it could happen. Get ready. Jags at Bucks. I think the Bucks beat the Jags if Trevor isn't playing. And even if Trevor is playing, I think, again, Trevor Lawrence, great talent from college, but really has not lived up to the expectations of essentially being a once-in-a-generation type of player in Jacksonville. But Tampa Bay beats them, probably even if he does play. Cowboys at Dolphins. Cowboys haven't lost 2 games in a row in, like, 2 years. Cowboys, everybody wants to talk about away games. I think they were just tired last week. They had 2 really, really difficult games, important games, impressive games. Eagles and Seattle. They got exactly what they wanted. They beat 2 cross-conference rivals they are a part of their conference, right? Yeah, they beat their conference rivals in Seattle, or technically the Eagles are in their division. So they beat a divisional rival and a conference rival, not cross-conference rival, excuse me. And they just got tired against the Bills. They were just mentally exhausted. They just didn't play right. But they'll be better, literally, this weekend. I think Tua and the Dolphins will struggle against the Cowboys. They really struggled against the Titans 2 weeks ago in a disastrous Monday Night Football game. And they have to go up against Micah Parsons and Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and all these players. Their defense is a tad bit overrated. Their offensive line isn't very good. Tyreek Hill will play, but I think Dallas will have something prepared for Tyreek Hill, especially because, and the Miami Dolphins, because huge parts of the Cowboys offense that I think, I don't know what they call it, but that motion in which, you know, they'll have somebody essentially line up in the slot and then he'll essentially have that speed motion to the outside. That's Miami. That's Mike McDaniel. Dallas stole that from Miami, who probably stole it from the San Francisco 49ers. Like, everybody has that little quick motion that Miami runs. And if anyone knows how to combat it, it's Dallas, because they literally run it in their offense all the time. But Dallas has the horses. They have the guys. They have the personnel. They have the players to be able to beat Miami. And I think they'll go in and quote-unquote shock the world once again and beat a team that they probably shouldn't be able to beat, according to the national media. Cardinals at Bears. Cardinals, Bears are a disaster. I mean, they've been a disaster for a very long period of time. Patriots at Broncos. Yuck. Broncos. On Sunday night. Oh, my God. It's on Sunday night. What do you want from me? Broncos over Patriots. Yikes, man. Yikes. Is that game terrible? Oh, there's 3 games on Christmas. Chiefs at Raiders, or Raiders at Chiefs. I don't know why I keep mixing up home and away. Raiders at Chiefs. Chiefs, Raiders aren't very good.
Sorry about that.
Giants at Eagles. Here's an interesting game. Divisional opponent and the Eagles. I'm taking the Giants. If Brian Daboll is worth any salt, if he is worth anything, and by the way, the interesting thing about the Giants here is Saquon Barkley pointed out, or somebody in the media pointed out to Saquon Barkley, that the Giants lost 3 times in a row to the Eagles last year. Right, got swept in the regular season, got swept in the postseason. And so somebody brought that up. Jonathan Allen is pissed off. Everybody's tired of losing to the Eagles, except for the Cowboys, because they're pretty much the only team that's beaten the Eagles. But it is an interesting concept, right? A couple weeks ago, the Eagles get bullied by the Cowboys. Huge loss by them. And then they get just embarrassed against the Seattle Seahawks and Drew Lock. I don't think the Giants have the same firepower offensively as the Seattle Seahawks, but it just seems as if the Eagles are on a huge skid. This is a easy game for them to win, and I think they'll probably lose it again. I don't know what's going on with the Eagles, except for the simplicity of the fact that they just do not trust essentially what got them to 10 wins, and that's why they've lost 3 games straight. Probably should have been 4 or 5. Giants over Eagles in Philadelphia. Tommy DeVito, Madonna Mia. Let's see if he can clutch it out for New York and the Italians and the five boroughs. Ravens at Niners. Taking the Ravens. It's time. It's time for the Ravens, not the Ravens, but the 49ers to start losing some games. Lamar will probably be asserted to MVP level, even though it should be Dak Prescott. But the Ravens, to me, are probably the only team that can beat the Niners here and consistently in the next couple of weeks, because the Niners, they go up against the Commanders here next in on December 31st. That's also kind of an interesting game and a little bit of a trap game. And then the Niners also go up against the Rams. But I think the Ravens can and should be able to beat the 49ers, because the 49ers, I think, are a little bit of a fool's gold. I think they've caught both the Eagles and especially the Cowboys at really bad times for the two respective teams that they've played up against. They've had some great wins, some great moments. But I just feel as if this is a team that is very, very close to having their own cataclysmic disaster, and that is that essentially everything has to be perfect for the 49ers to win. They can't trail in the fourth quarter. They essentially have to be leading in the second half or going into the second half to win the game. Like, all of these huge statistics, and Brock Purdy, to me, without Christian McCaffrey popping off for like a bajillion zillion yards and having clean pockets, like, it just feels as if the 49ers really haven't overcome anything ever this season. And I feel as if when they actually have to have some adversity against certain teams, I feel like that is when they will fold. And I think adversity is coming this week in the form of the Baltimore Ravens. Anyways, I will see you on Saturday for Music Matters, which will be probably the first time I've had that podcast in like a month. I'll see you then tomorrow, Saturday, 24's Podcast.